And it generally to the middle and upper 80s in rain-cooled areas. Some spots will be under the threat, under the heavy downpours for local street flood issues. Diminishing again tomorrow night, but coming back on Saturday, and looks like a pretty good chance likely again for Sunday into the weekend. 80s for highs. Ralph Sanji, WGSO. Gemstones, minerals, fossils, fine jewelry, hourly door prices, a two-day auction, and more. Win a beautiful amethyst cathedral. Drawing tickets, $1 a ticket or $6 for $5. At Baton Rouge's annual Gem and Mineral Show, August 13th and 14th, 10 a.m. till 5 p.m., the Bar Dixon Expo Center, Gonzales. Admission $5, kids 5 to 12, $3. Military personnel free with ID. $1 off scouts and uniform. More info at brgemandmineral.org.
The views and opinions expressed during this show are those of the hosts and guests only. In no way do they represent the views, positions, or opinions expressed or implied of WGSO 990 AM or North Shore Radio, LLC.
It's time to join Huck and Dave for 1 hour of educational news and conversation. They will discuss the current events that you are not going to hear on the mainstream media. The left wants to silence our free speech and take away our liberties. Huck and Dave want to open up the lines of communication and allow you, our listeners, to speak about what America wants. Call Huck and Dave for open discussions at 504-556-9696, or you can reach them at Liberty or Live. Lockdown.live. Now, let's go live and direct to Huck and Dave for Liberty or Lockdown.
Welcome back to Liberty or Lockdown. This is Huck.
And Dave.
And we are excited to get through this 1 hour. We know it goes real quickly, and we have a lot of information for you. So I know Micah's called back in. Micah, you there?
I'm here.
Hey, Micah, you got a quick word from the Lord for us?
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, it's good to hear your voice. I hope you're doing well in California.
Well, yeah, things are, we can talk about that later.
Absolutely.
But, I sent you a word last night. I don't know if you got it yet, but it's really a word for everybody who's in, the mountain that y'all are in, you know, the seven mountains of society. Three of them, the most important mind molders, I guess you call them, are media, government, politics, and Hollywood. And it's just really, I just have an encouraging word, because not everyone's called to those mountains of society, those mind molders of society. And, you know, the beast who sits upon the seven mountains. I mean, it's in the Bible, and God gave somebody revelation about that. I don't know if everyone in your who's listening is familiar with that teaching, but basically just not to let, because you're going to hear a lot of bad sounding news come out of the government political mountain and media mountain in the next month or two, like
that's right.
Really, really bad right before the midterm elections. But I just want to encourage everyone that's truly walking with the Lord that we are in this world, but we're not of it. And we don't want to let our emotions get the best of us when we hear this bad news, because it's just like the evil report when the spies went in, you know, the 12 spies, and 10 of them didn't believe the Lord's report and 2 of them believed God's report. And so we're going to hear a lot of different reporting, and we just need to remember what Jesus said. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. And if we ever find ourselves, especially y'all who are called into that mountain, you know, it's really easy to get bogged down with the besetting weights while we're running our race of all this negative reporting and negative media. And it's just a bunch of lies. And so just if you ever find yourself going that way, I just wanted to encourage everyone that that's not the yoke of Christ. The yoke of Christ is easy and light, and we are hidden in him. And so these things that they're telling us is going to happen to us, you know, if they say they came out with some crazy report, you know, if you're under the age of 65, we're just going to kill you, you know. I mean, that's going to happen one day, actually. We're not going to see it, thankfully. But, like, basically just don't let it get you emotionally down.
Thank you.
Because our yoke is supposed to be easy and light. Come to Christ for rest and just keep going no matter what the evil report is, because we have so many much more promises that we're protected, we're provided for no matter what happens.
Thank you, Micah. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. I'm going to remember that and I hold on to that. I appreciate you. The Lord bless you. Thank you, Micah.
Thank you.
All right, Dave, we're going to go on and do the COVID stats.
Okay. Well, let me just summarize by saying go to libertyorlockdown.live and click on the tab that says more, and then Mr. Prentice's statistics, and you'll see what I'm telling you about. The number of positive tests has gone down. So the other day, somebody was wearing a mask. I said, you don't have to. He said, oh, no, the tests are going up. No, they're not. The number of positive tests has gone back down. It's way past the peak that it was a month ago. Okay, the number of deaths in Louisiana attributed to COVID. Well, we've mentioned this before, that the Louisiana Department of Health used to post every day the percent of recent deaths that were fully vaccinated versus not fully vaccinated. Guess what? They've taken that off their website. You can't see it anymore. So let me just...
So that's as of last week.
Well,
they took it down, put it back, and took it down again.
But it's back down again. It's gone. So if you want to know how many people died who were vaccinated or not, tough luck. No way to know. But, you know, in the last 2 weeks in the state of Louisiana, there have been 85 deaths attributed to COVID, which sounds like a lot, but that's out of 4.67 million people. The normal number of deaths every day is about 130. So in that time, probably 1,800 people have died just because people die. So out of 1,800, maybe 85, if that's really a valid statistic. I'm pretty skeptical about that. So go to libertylockdown.live, pull down the More tab, and go to Mr. Prentice's statistics, and you'll see the graphs that I've given you.
All right. Well, thank you for that. And we have, we're going to take a call real quick. Matthew from Metairie, are you there?
Hey, it's good to hear from y'all. So, Martha, did you get that... post I sent you from Steve Kirch.
You sent it to my Hawk at WGSO?
Yes, I did.
Okay. I'm actually I'm having a little difficulty with that right now, so I'll have to figure out why my account's not pulling up, but it's there.
Okay. Well, the long and the short of it is he obtained 10 vials of the vaccine, 5 of the Moderna and 5 of the Pfizer, and he did a gas chromatography thing to detect the elements in them. And the one thing that they did not find was phosphorus.
Yeah, which is necessary if you're doing an RNA vaccine.
Right. So in other words, some percentage of these vaccines that are going out are duds.
Yep.
I'm suspecting if you haven't had a side effect from the vaccine,
you got a dud.
Well, that's probably so they don't have mass deaths or mass sicknesses, so it won't be so suspicious.
Huh.
No, it's probably because it's more profitable.
Well, yeah. Follow the money.
Maybe it's both.
Oh, yeah. It could entirely be both, but... lately, I'm starting to come to the very cynical conclusion that, yes, American corporations will kill their customers.
Sure, and politicians, too.
Right, right, of course. But we always suspected that of politicians, but conservatives never suspected that of corporations.
Yeah.
So much of that assumption.
Well, thank you so much. I know a friend of mine had messaged me that if you went to the LDH website, that they're actually now admitting on the site that the vaccine has the mRNA technology in it and the purpose behind it, which a year ago they did not admit that it had the technology in it.
Except Matthew's saying that it doesn't even have what they said it did. RNA involves phosphorus. Yeah, if there's no phosphorus, there's no RNA.
It might, or it might not.
Yeah,
it's
maybe
like
so, maybe not.
It's like a game of double Russian roulette.
Yeah.
One, you know, the pistol could be loaded with nothing but blanks instead of real rounds.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, for those who got the blanks, praise God.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Right. Well, thank you so much. All right. Well, the Lord bless you.
All right. Look, the Lord bless
you. All right. What do we have, Dave?
Well, here's a surprise. President Trump's house got raided last week by the FBI. Now, okay, here's what I knew before they raided his house. Donald Trump is a billionaire who hires extremely high-priced accountants and lawyers to make sure absolutely everything he does is within the letter of the law. That's what I knew before the raid. Here's what I know after the raid. Donald Trump is a billionaire who hires extremely high-priced accountants and lawyers to make sure absolutely everything he does is within the letter of the law. You might not like the guy, but he's not stupid. Do you think he's going to bring incriminating evidence to his own house? Oh, come on. This is just a witch hunt. They're still trying to, They're still trying to disembar him, or whatever the word is, from being able to run for president next time.
Well, one of the crazy things is that the judge who signed off on this is named Bruce Reinhardt, who helped Epstein get off and then went on to represent Epstein's accomplices. This judge is the one who signed off on the FBI raid,
and the guy
raiding President Trump's Mar-a-Lago.
And the guy that authorized it, Merrick Garland, the attorney general, said, oh, he personally authorized it. Well, he's the one that was up for Supreme Court and didn't get up there. So I think he's
got
a little annoyance in his heart.
He has a vendetta, not an annoyance. He has a vendetta against President Trump. And he makes it very clear. So we're going to watch this unfold. We know that what the FBI did was completely against the law and unconstitutional. And they didn't even go through the proper process.
Yeah.
They sent FBI agents from Washington, D.C. They weren't local agents from what, you know, we've heard. So I think, you know, some darker days are ahead.
Oh, yeah. And who's one well-known politician that has not spoken out about it? One known Republican, Mike Pence. He didn't say anything about it.
And Mitch McConnell.
Oh, he didn't either?
Okay. Haven't heard a word from Mitch McConnell.
Yeah.
So why aren't they saying anything?
The whole thing is a travesty.
Well, Pence is a travesty.
Yeah.
All right. Well, all right then. So let's see. And then I know that the gentleman who is the judge who signed off on this, he is not well liked right now. And, you know, we don't wish harm on anyone, but what he did to President Trump is a crime. What they did is a crime.
It's abominable.
It's abominable. And I hope to see the day that all these judges, even here in Louisiana, are held accountable for using their power to create tyrannical, to be so tyrant and to do what they want to be done and to not even go through the proper judicial system.
Yeah.
This is Liberty or a Lockdown. We'll be right back.
Send the message, I've had enough. We the people say.
Some people in the Louisiana legislature want to permit the teaching of critical race theory in our state. That theory says that if two babies are born today, one black baby and one white baby, that the white baby is the mean, racist oppressor of the black baby. And that the black baby is the weak, incompetent victim of the white baby. Unbelievable. Those people say that the innocent white baby by his DNA is bad and racist, and the black baby by his DNA is a weak victim who can never succeed. Only a total fool would believe or accept this idiocy. Yet they want to teach this foolishness to Louisiana's young people. Please call your legislator today and raise some sand.
Taste of Tokyo, 10160 Jefferson Highway, River Ridge, Louisiana. Among other Japanese cuisine places to visit, this restaurant can be one of the best. Good salmon, broth, and sushi will impress you at the first bite. Taste tasty cheesecake and good ice cream to form your opinion about Taste of Tokyo. Visit this place and order delicious wine. If you enjoy great tea, you'll love Taste of Tokyo. The cozy atmosphere makes guests feel relaxed and everyone seems to be having a good time. According to Google Review, pricing is excellent and the staff is considered attentive and patient. I suggest trying the beef tataki, pepper tuna sashimi, Playboy roll in soy paper, and the sunshine roll. It tastes and feels...
You are my sunshine.
Hi, I'm Big John Mason.
Did you know that...
Welcome back to Liberty or Lockdown. All right. Well, that was a long segment, huh?
Yeah.
So here we are. We have our guest today on the call, Dr. Cade Broomley, the superintendent of Louisiana. Dr. Cade, are you there?
I'm there. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for coming on and speaking to our listeners. I had the pleasure of meeting you a couple of times, and I am totally following you because I love, love, love how you keep on calling us a constitutional republic. I mean, go figure the concept of that.
Well, I don't think that's hard to do considering that's what we are.
Exactly. But I keep hearing democracy, democracy, yeah. Democracy for so long. And it's just a refreshing. It's a breath of fresh air to hear that. So, sir, thank you so much for acknowledging the I think it's Moms for Liberty and just everything that you're doing right now. I know you're probably getting a lot of pushback, but it's the right thing. And we support you 100%. Louisiana needs you. And we're grateful to have you as the superintendent of the Department of Education, Louisiana.
Well, thanks so much for acknowledging that. We have so much to do in the state of Louisiana, where we've been long challenged educationally for decades. And so alongside my team and many others, we're just working hard to do what we think we need to do to get kids and families and communities what they need and deserve.
That's correct. So tell us a little bit about the history curriculum that we just that you all worked to have revised.
Oh my goodness! Yes, that was exciting. Frankly, I'll tell you, it's one of the things that I am most proud of in terms of my professional career. It was an honor to be able to do that work. We embarked on that process, and it was a long and winding road. But I think it's a testament to the beauty of our country, the way in which our citizens in Louisiana really engaged in the process and shaped the process. And ultimately, I think that we ended up with a model set of standards for not only our state, but for the country. I mean, a standard is the thing in which a student is supposed to know or be able to do as a result of instruction. And so we just believed it was vitally important. I held it near and dear to my heart as a former social studies teacher. And I knew our kids needed better. We approached it not from a radical ideology, just from the idea that we need our kids to understand that they live in a constitutional republic. They have an obligation and a responsibility to sustain it, defend it, protect it, know it, and improve upon it every day. And so we called our framework for standards a freedom framework, believing that the American spirit has always been one that's been on a quest for freedom. That those standards will go into place in about a year and a half, and we're just really excited about the opportunity to go back and make sure that our kids understand some of the most important people in our country, some of the most important places, and some of the most important papers, which would include both documents and speeches here in America.
That's right, the Bill of Rights and the Constitution. So it just blows my mind that something like this hasn't been done, or has it, and I'm just not aware of it. I mean,
well, look,
it's amazing. Clearly, I read it twice.
Yeah. Hate to interrupt you, but I mean, clearly we've lost our way somewhere along the process. And we just wanted to take it and frame it in a way that centered around freedom. And it's not just cliche, it's important. And we wanted our kids in a very developmentally appropriate way, in a rigorous way, to understand our country and our state's history in a way that made sense, in order, teaching it in order, chronologically. We wanted to make sure that we incorporated multiple voices, told the whole story of our country's history, including its majesty, but also opportunities when we really had to work and are still working to become a more perfect union.
Yeah, that's right. And then not only that, you did the history for the United States, but also the history for Louisiana.
Yep. So that was fun too, because what was essentially happening in many cases across the state, our lone high school course in U.S. history basically started after Reconstruction, and so students, if they only got one U.S. history course in high school in Louisiana, it didn't even cover the War for Independence, the American Revolution. It didn't cover the Civil War, Emancipation Proclamation, and I just found that and find that astonishing. And what was happening is that in the middle schools would cover some of that earlier content, and then once they got to high school, they would cover some of the later content. And so we just felt like we could take 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, tell the story of our country beginning just before 1776, and put into there in a chronological way events that were important and people that were important to Louisiana history. That way, students in the state, as they were engaging American history, they were better understanding the aspects of Louisiana history as they ran parallel to American history. And we just think it makes more sense.
It makes a lot more sense, and it's not broken up. And it's at the right age as well. So it's not too young and not too old. It's perfect.
Yep. One of the things, though, about you mentioned age is really important is with some of our youngest learners. So in very elementary grades, we have this focus again on what I'm calling the story of America, paper, places, and people. And so our youngest learners, say for example our second graders, they're going to learn some of the most important people in American history, which encompasses a wide array of people that have contributed, that have sacrificed, that have suffered, that have accomplished. They're going to learn about some of the most important places in our country's history, and again, the papers. And you mentioned earlier, you know, it's just really important that we go back to these primary source documents, the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, some of these key speeches. Instead of having students understand based on what 3, 4, 5 times down the road people believe something to be, let them look at the actual document and gain some understanding and appreciation for themselves.
That's right. Would you please hold on? We'll be right back. We're going to take a quick break. This is Liberty or Lockdown. We're on the call with Superintendent Dr. Cade Broomley.
Some of them old bars down in the Louisiana legislature are willing to let teachers teach our kids that all white people are inherently racist, and that Louisiana is a racist state, and that America is a racist country. Them old bars are too chicken to stand up for America. They ought to be put out on the chicken farm.
Donate your vehicle and make a difference. WGSO 990 AM has partnered with Charitable Adult Rides and Services, also known as CARS, to allow you the opportunity to donate your car, truck, motorcycle, RV, or boat to our nonprofit organization. You may qualify for a tax deduction while supporting a cause that is near and dear to your heart. Simply go to WGSO.com and follow the link on our homepage. Vehicle donation pickup is always free to you, and most vehicles can be picked up within 24 to 72 hours. You'll receive an initial car donation receipt upon pickup, and then the CARS team will work to turn your car into cash to support our cause. Once your vehicle is sold, the CARS team will provide you proper tax forms in time to file. Their friendly donor support representatives are available 7 days a week to assist throughout the process. Again, for more information, go to WGSO.com.
Tim McNally, host of the Dine, Wine, and Spirit Show on WGSO 990 AM.
Every weekday
from 4 until 5
on WGSO 990 AM. This is where we started. This is our home. We're going to bring you news of the wine world, interviews with wine makers. We're going to talk to people who know something about wine. We hope you'll join us.
The Dine, Wine, and Spirit Show on WGSO 990 AM.
Every weekday
from 4 until 5
from the heart of the Crescent City.
Louisiana Radio Network News, I'm Kevin Gallagher. A food fight of sorts is brewing in Washington Parish, which could affect farmers and ranchers statewide. Mount Hermon cattleman Jason Smith is being sued by the parish for tens of thousands in taxes he didn't collect or pay when selling cuts of beef directly to customers at his farm. State Ag Commissioner Mike Strain says the tax code states that livestock and other farm products are tax exempt, but the parish says cuts of beef aren't livestock and they want to get paid. A great many farmers and ranchers sell meat and produce directly to customers without state or local sales taxes. Strain says Smith is worried, but so are food producers statewide.
This could affect all the farmers in the state. We have more than 100 farmers that sell meat from the farm, and so this will be a precedent case.
A New Orleans cop was sitting very close to a French Quarter rape in progress and did nothing has been suspended. The officer is not NOPD, but rather an Orleans deputy constable who is working a paid detail for a movie shoot nearby. His suspension is pending an investigation of the incident. This is news from LRN.
For nearly half a century, Tiger Ag magazine has covered all things LSU sports. The 2003 National Championship with Coach Nick Saban. Tiger Rag Magazine was there. The 2007 National Championship with Coach Les Miles. Tiger Rag Magazine was there. And the undefeated season of the 2019 National Championship with Coach Ed Orgeron. Tiger Rag was there. With coverage from the practice field to the hoisting of the trophy. But in all these years of LSU sports moments, there has never been a more exciting time to be a Tiger fan than now. A new era has arrived at Tiger Stadium. Coach Brian Kelly has arrived in Baton Rouge with aspirations of grasping the one thing that has eluded his illustrious career, a national championship.
It takes hard work. It takes a commitment.
Tiger Rag Magazine will be there every step of the way as Coach Kelly attempts to solidify his status in Louisiana immortality. Follow each moment with Tiger Rag Magazine on newsstands now, online at TigerRag.com.
Some people in the Louisiana legislature want to permit the teaching of critical race theory in our state. That theory says that if two babies are born today, one black baby and one white baby, that the white baby is the mean racist oppressor of the black baby, and that the black baby is the weak, incompetent victim of the white baby. Unbelievable. Those people say that the innocent white baby by his DNA is bad and racist, and the black baby by his DNA is a weak victim who can never succeed. Only a total fool would believe or accept this idiocy. Yet they want to teach this foolishness to Louisiana's young people. Please call your legislator today and raise some sand.
This is Kate Delaney from America Tonight. The show kicks on at midnight, and I'm loving the overwhelming support in New Orleans. What a group of fantastic listeners here on WGSO 990 AM. Join me every morning to catch up on what I call the buzz in your backyard and mine. You'll hear some of the most interesting people on the planet from the world of business, politics, sports, and, well, just intriguing people with a story to tell. If you're around, give us a call. Don't worry, I'll spit out the number plenty of times on the air. Let's agree to meet at midnight right here on WGSO 990 AM in New Orleans.
Craft beer is booming, and we're here to share the good word and the latest news about our favorite beverage. Join us every week, Beer Guys Radio, Saturday at 8 p.m. right here on WGSO 990 AM.
Hey, y'all, the Beat Exchange has a new time slot. Mondays at 7 p.m. on WGSO 990 AM in New Orleans, the Beat Exchange with Barbara Hoover.
Hey, all, Brian Diaz here, host of the NOLA Drink Show. Kick off your weekend happy hour with me every Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. right here on WGSO 990 AM New Orleans.
Sweet Caroline, good times never seem so good.
That song just makes me very happy. Every time I hear it, I smile. I literally put myself in Ohio in the primaries because I was a delegate for President Trump in 2016, and I was sitting there in that stadium. That song was playing, and it brings so much joy to my heart. Anyway, we have Louisiana Superintendent, Department of Education Superintendent Dr. Cade Brumley on the line with us. Are you still there?
I'm here, yes, absolutely.
Okay, so I have a few questions for you. So I have an anonymous school teacher who has sent me a few things. I've forwarded them over. But anyway, it's something to do with Test to Stay. I'm not sure if you're familiar. I'm sure you're familiar with it. But she sent me a bunch of links, and it's Jefferson Parish Schools Test to Stay. Fact sheet, Biden-Harris administration increases COVID-19 testing in schools to keep students safe and schools open. And then there's another one. There's jpsschools.org, page 5289, where it tells you about the Test to Stay. And then there's another resource on jpsschools.org, STIPEND. Are you familiar with that?
I'm not familiar with the JP documents per se, but I can provide some insight on the topic as a whole, if you'll permit me to go back a little ways.
Please.
In yeah. So what ended up happening? First of all, when the pandemic first began, it made sense for everyone to be ultra cautious and careful. And as we learned more about the pandemic, you take that information and you let that information inform your decisions. And after some time, over a year, really, I had continued to hear parents upset that their children were being continuously quarantined multiple times for multiple weeks at a time. And so I started looking at some of the data across the country and found that we were seeing across the country and in Louisiana, ER visits for mental health on the rise, juvenile diabetes on the rise, suicide attempts in young girls doubling, just one factor after another, not to mention learning loss that was taking place. And so my position was we need to do everything that we can do, not just to keep our schools open, because we had already done that fairly well compared to the rest of the country, but to end some of these quarantines. And so that's when I put out the guidance that should systems so choose, that they could allow for a parent option on quarantine, which would allow the parents to make the decision about whether or not they wanted to quarantine their child. We have a history in our country of sending home kids who are sick, not well. And so I just felt like it was important to further empower the parent. Now, obviously, if a child was sick, they didn't need to be at school. If they were experiencing symptoms, they didn't need to be at school. But for us, I just believe that local communities, moms, dads, local doctors, local school system leaders, teachers, educators, et cetera, were in the best position to make those decisions around quarantine. I think what you're referencing is a test to stay policy, which is one variation that I've seen across the country. And that just means essentially in some form that if a kid, if there's a thought that a child was exposed to COVID, they could test, and if the test was negative, they would be allowed to stay at school. So possibly that is what that is referencing.
So this is what she wrote to me. She said that the information was sent to the principal and presented as a slide to the teachers from the Biden-Harris administration. To her knowledge, we'd never received any instruction from the Trump administration. Anonymous believes there's a deliberate financial and intellectual attack on our nation because it provides no financial relief for teachers and staff forced to stay home from work due to being forced out of the building. No home or outside tests are allowed. They don't count. COVID-positive students and employees are expected to show up at school to take the rapid COVID test, thereby exposing everyone to COVID. If you recall, it was possible to run an entire year virtually. Now there are no virtual classes available for students who are forced out of their lessons, even if they show no symptom of COVID or are not physically sick from COVID, we were told they would be given a packet of work to take home.
Huh. Yeah, again, that sounds like a local decision that they're making, referencing some federal document. This is why I believe education is a local enterprise. This is why I believe that we need to be involved within our local classrooms, our local schools, and with our local school boards, making our faces, our beliefs known, and in working in collaboration there. Education is and should be as much as possible a local enterprise. We have not put out guidance on how exactly that situation should be handled, other than saying we have a belief that parents should have the option to make a decision around quarantining of their children.
Right, but I thought it was interesting that she mentioned that it was slides from the Biden-Harris administration, and she was very clear on that. So,
yeah, and again, that may be some resource that the particular school system has pulled to utilize. I'm not familiar with that resource.
Okay. So, and also there was another situation where a teacher, another urgent topic, teacher in Jefferson Parish Public Schools who advocates for transgender rights put up an LGBTQ flag this year in her kindergarten 5-year-old classroom. This teacher wears a T-shirt advocating for transgender rights, which this particular, with the another anonymous teacher said, she believes is the mutilation of children and should not be advocated in a kindergarten classroom. So teachers are afraid to even put their name on this information when they send it to me because of fear of losing their job.
Yeah. Again, this is why, you know, it's important to be engaged locally. What that does remind me of, however, is most recently the Biden administration put out guidance to school systems, including school systems in Louisiana, that if they did not follow their new overreaching interpretation of Title IX rules, which would allow biological males in biological girls' restrooms, or for schools to allow biological males on biological female sports teams, that they could potentially lose funding. And many school systems have come to believe that, and I've had the conversations with leaders in the systems, that if they don't follow this guidance, that they could lose even lunch funding for some of their children that need the lunch the most.
Painful.
And so we have, our agency has put in a letter both to the U.S. Department of Education and the U.S. Department of Agriculture, because they oversee the school lunch program, just seeking clarity on those issues to better understand, in fact, is that what you are saying? Are you saying that if systems don't conform to your interpretation of Title IX, that you would, in fact, pull lunch money from children in Louisiana who are the most needy? Yeah. And so I have yet to hear back, but I think that we will be providing guidance in the very near future on how to handle that.
Right. Well, way to go on being proactive in contacting them for them to clarify that. That's a very important thing to do. And I mentioned to you earlier about the Moms for Liberty. I really appreciated that letter that you put out there for Moms for Liberty, because these mothers are the ones who are out there saying, you know what, this is not okay. It's not okay. My niece, I just had her for 2 weeks. She's from Alabama, moved to Washington State with her mother, and then just this summer had to cross over to Idaho because the public school system that she was in the last week of school read a book to her that they should not have read to second graders, and it was a very inappropriate book. So,
well,
you know, these are mothers
I hear you.
That are, you know, we're not going to allow this to happen to our children. We should be able to determine those things that are taught to our children on that level.
Yeah. Well, I mean, one of the questions I have frequently been asked for a long time is, you know, how can we get more parental involvement? How can we get more parental involvement? It's a good question, because when parents are engaged with the school and everyone's working together, the child benefits. But at the same time, groups such as Moms for Liberty, who are actively trying to do that thing, actively trying to be engaged, I think that they deserve to be congratulated.
Right. And I know we tried in the House of Representatives to get a law passed, but that was deferred or killed to be more transparent in the school systems. Go figure.
Yeah. Well, Well, Moms for Liberty, they are engaging school systems. They are engaging school leaders. They are making their beliefs known. They are present, and I just think that's positive. And I think that probably we'll have chapters spring up here in Louisiana.
I want to
reference again. One of the best things about sort of the social studies standard process is the engagement from the public. We had engagement online. We had engagement face to face, and that engagement led to a better product. We listened. It led to a better product, and they weren't a set of standards that were for one group of people and not for another. When they ultimately got to our state board, which is a diverse board, they were unanimously approved.
That was a miracle.
And I think that just shows that the process can work. The process can work. Look, moms are a powerful group, and they hold a lot of influence. And I just think that groups such as that are really important.
I agree. All right, Dr. K, my co-host has a question for you.
Now, I think since we still need to get Dr. Merrifield on, I'll skip it next time. Dr. Brumley, it's a pleasure to talk to you.
Oh, thanks for having me.
All right, but we're gonna go on a quick break. We'll be right back. Thank you so much, Dr. Cade Brumley, the Department of Education Superintendent. If you'd hold, we'll be right back.
At Grace at the Green Light, we believe that everyone deserves a hot meal, a welcoming community, and the chance to go home again. Every month, our Meals with Love program feeds thousands of homeless New Orleanians, while our Going Home initiative sends people who are homeless here home to loved ones across the country. You can help create a new home and hope for those who need it most. To see how, visit our website at www.graceatthegreenlight.org.
It's Jeff Cruer, host of Ringside Politics. I'd like to introduce WGSO General Manager Mary Ann Guzman.
WGSO is locally owned and operated right here in New Orleans. We believe in cultivating local talent and emphasize local programs. If you have an interest in hosting your own program, then we have some prime spots available.
Thanks, Mary Ann. Folks, take advantage of this great offer. Email me at jeff@wgso.com or call me at 504-669-6076. Come fulfill your radio dreams at WGSO.
Hey, Mimi, we're moving.
Moving to Wednesdays at 5.
You can check out He Said, She Said on a new day.
Hump Day.
A new day, but we'll still be discussing and debating the hot topics.
And take your phone call.
You can listen to us on 990 AM WGSO, WGSO.com.
And find out who's right. Of course, that's me.
No, of course, that's me. I've been doing this 23 years, Mimi.
Practice makes perfect.
So you see, we'll have plenty to talk about on He Said, She Said.
Wednesdays at 5.
Right here on WGSO.
When the time came, I knew I had to find a place where Mom would be safe and active while still feeling independent. A place that was close to all of us and everything she needed. Locally owned and operated in the heart of Gonzales, I found Francois Ben Senior Living. They specialize in independent and assisted living and memory care.
Call 225-647-BEND for more information on our special pre-leasing offers.
Francois Ben Senior Living. Experience life as it should be.
Hi, I'm Roz. Join me every Friday at 1 p.m. for Roz and the Rocks, where we will mix it all up with cocktails and conversation with area persons of interest. Stay in the know as we discuss upcoming events, personal stories, cocktail recipes, and shake-up drinks, all during our Thirsty Thursday show, Roz and the Rocks at 1 p.m., right here on WGSO 990 AM.
Join me, BJ Rusk, for the Something to Say radio show every weekday from 6 to 7 p.m. I'll be joined by Rudy Cicchini, and we will give our unique and fun thoughts on sports, music, entertainment, current events, and everything in between. Your calls are welcome, and you can also check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and at www.somethingtosayradioshow.com. The Something to Say radio show, weekdays at 6 p.m. only on WGSO 990 AM.
He's got the red, white, blue, brown hound farm.
Welcome back to Liberty or Lockdown. Dr. Cade Broomley, are you still with us?
I'm here.
Thank you so much for being patient. I have a caller on the line. He has a question for you.
Hello, sir. Thanks for being there, and thanks for you for being there at Liberty and Lockdown. Listen up, sir. Can you do anything about, or can the parents do anything about the transsexual propaganda attack on our children? Because they try to turn our boys into little girls and the little girls into boys. Is there anything that parents and you can do about it? Please wake up America. Amen.
Yeah, thanks for the call. This is to the topic we just discussed. You know, I have a letter in to the feds to better understand what their position is. And once I can clarify that position or understand that they're not going to clarify for themselves, we will issue guidance to systems around what we think is appropriate and what we think is in line with the viewpoint of the majority of Louisiana citizens.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And then we have another caller, which I know you've already met, and he's working very hard with our team here in Louisiana. It's Dr. John Merrifield, author of School System Reform. Dr. Merrifield, are you there?
I am here.
Well, I have Dr. Cade Broomley on the line. Do you have something you'd like to say or ask him?
No, not really. You know, I'm kind of a wet blanket on this subject. I've met Dr. Broomley previously, and he's an honorable man, and if anybody can pull off what he's trying to do, and with the new curriculum, he may well have. But the political process is a terrible way to create a curriculum or to design a textbook, and we see that played out in 50 states over and over again. So yeah. One of the chapters of my book is called Central Plan Optimization. And that's something we need to keep doing, and that's what this process is that you've been talking about this hour, because most kids are going to have to go to their assigned school or a charter school. And so we've got to try to do as well as possible through the existing processes. But I think what we've seen, not just in the last 40 minutes, but repeatedly across the country, is why we need to open up the system so that the children that are not a good fit for the existing system can find schooling elsewhere is exactly this process of trying to find something that works for everybody through the political process. It's just hope-defying experience. Again, Martha, I know you're enthusiastic about this new curriculum, and wow, that would be awesome. But we just can't put all of our eggs in that basket. We need to level the playing field between the assigned school that has this curriculum that will not fit all, no matter what's done with it. We need a level playing field between the people that will be studying this curriculum and alternatives to it. And
I'm just excited that the public school systems are going to have a history curriculum that's actually truthful and true to our country and our Constitution. I'm really excited about school system reform, but I'm also happy that this history curriculum is amazing, and it's an opportunity for those children who, right now, we don't have school choice. So this is right now, and it's good.
Well, if I can opine a bit on this subject, I think it's a larger conversation that just goes back to the whole notion of understanding and appreciating the need to empower parents to make decisions in the best interest of their kids. And I think school choice is one of those areas. We have a belief statement that says that choice expands opportunities for our kids. And, overwhelmingly, most families are going to select their local neighborhood school. They know the teacher. They see her in the grocery store or him, et cetera. But I think that all modalities should be available, whether it's that traditional school, public charter, homeschool, pods, ultimately ESAs, where parents are in the driver's seat of the funding and can make decisions on where they'd like to see that funding go to educate their child. So I just think that we shouldn't be adding barriers or placing more gates in front of families. We should be removing those things and providing for more choices, especially in 2022 and beyond, because the educational experience, I think, is and should become more and more personalized based on the needs of the family. And that's what we pushed for this last legislative session.
Had a few wins, but not on the ESA front like we had hoped to have, but potentially in the future.
I'm excited also about the Louisiana's move to overhaul high school career and technical education.
Oh yeah, me too. I mean, it's we have devalued career education for too long. We've told kids you have to go to college or you're less than. I think that's been a mistake, and I think that we're experiencing not just symptoms of it, but beyond now. Our kids need to know that career education is important, that it's valuable, trade skills matter, and so one of the things that we have done is we have tried to partner with systems around the state to rethink particularly what that junior and senior year might look like with our Fast Forward initiative and give kids specifically on the career side the opportunity to go work alongside electricians and HVAC mechanics and carpenters and et cetera in the trades crafts and instead of the traditional coursework that they would do maybe during junior and senior year, they are taking coursework aligned to those careers and or being on the job, receiving on the job training and credit for that work. Because if we're able to do that, then we know that if a kid graduates May 15th on May 16th, they're ready to do something.
Right.
We're also trying to expand opportunities for our university-bound kids for dual enrollment, advanced placement, so that we can connect kids with colleges much earlier and be deliberate with that handoff. But ultimately, again, I think this speaks to the personalization of the high school experience and the need that we have to transform our high schools. And by doing that, I think we will put kids in a much better place to be successful beyond 12th grade, and particularly in some of our metro regions where there is such a need and a desire for talent in the trades areas. It's really important that we help provide that.
That's exactly right. And not every child wants to, like you said, go into college and form that $100,000 debt. And some people just aren't cut out for that, but they are cut out to do some amazing things, and they should be given that opportunity. I love what's happening here in Louisiana. We might not be seeing it fully yet, but we're going to. So we're in the works of really, I believe, bringing Louisiana from 50th in education to number one. And I strongly believe that we're going to be the catalyst to all the other states. So I want to thank you. And thank you, Dr. John Merrifield, school system reform. One of the things that I keep in mind is that I know you mentioned that you believe that the charters schools are the quarter horse and that this school system reform would be the thoroughbred. So we're going to keep on keeping on and try and get those bills passed in the House and work towards school system reform. Thank you both. Thank you, gentlemen. We appreciate you both. And the Lord bless you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. This is Liberty or Lockdown. We'll be back next Thursday. We have a lot going on. Y'all keep praying for President Trump and praying for Louisiana and praying for the United States of America.
And just remember, inflation is at 0%, according to Mr. Biden.
No, and they redefined the definition of recession, too. Remember that? Yeah. All right, we'll see you next week. Thank y'all.
From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to
chicken. Some of them old bars down in the Louisiana legislature are willing to let teachers teach our kids that all white people are inherently racist, and that Louisiana is a racist state, and that America is a racist country. Them old bars are too chicken to stand up for America. They ought to be put out on the chicken farm.
Hi, this is Kevin Carr, host of Fat Guys at the Movies. Listen every Sunday at 8 p.m. on WGSO 990 AM, the community voice of the Crescent City.
You are my sunshine.
This is Big John Mason. Please listen to the Big John Mason Show, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 1 p.m. to 2 on WGSO 990 AM.
Does your business need help with print, signs, or marketing? Partner with Sir Speedy. We have more than 50 years of know-how and a proven track record that goes into every project. Our specialists will work with you on everything from print collateral and direct marketing campaigns to signage both indoor and outdoor. Call Sir Speedy and let us know how we can help at 504-586-9812 or visit us online at SirSpeedyNewOrleans.com. Sir Speedy, if you need it, we do. Do it.
You can provide the life-changing opportunity of a quality education to a disadvantaged Louisiana student at almost no cost. For those inclined to make a difference and fortify our community, it's a no-brainer. 95% of every donation to ACE Scholarships directly funds a deserving child scholarship, and you receive a 95% tax credit through the Louisiana Tuition Donation Credit. To learn more, call Arthur Dupre at 504-710-1132.
Hello, this is David Jeremiah. Join me each weekday morning at 5:30 or 6:30 for Turning Point here on Talk Radio 990 AM.
The best place for cutting-edge news and talk about southeastern Louisiana is the John Mason Show, every Tuesday and Wednesday at 1 p.m. on WGSO 990 AM, broadcasting live from the heart of New Orleans, Louisiana.